be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's get our Bibles quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Got your Bibles and writing materials. Amen. First Corinthians 12. So we're studying manifestation of spirits, and today we're just going to continue this part 10, still clarifying the myths surrounding tongues. The myths surrounding tongues. Hallelujah. Verse 1, Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Because it's possible to be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. It's possible to have been in church for several years and not know a thing about the things of the Spirit. It's also possible to have been in church for several years and not know the right things. You can know so many things, and you know, those things are not the right things concerning the things of the Spirit. That's why Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. So, we've been examining the myths surrounding tongues. Let's go to Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. And the first myth we addressed last week is the myth that says tongues is a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language. And then we've gone through scriptures to see that this is nowhere taught in the Bible. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, there was no need for such. There was no need for such because the old world had a common language, two or three common languages. Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And we saw how that the apostles went to different places preaching in either the Hebrew language or in Greek. And every other nation apart from Israel were referred to as Greeks in the Bible. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. It is the power of God unto salvation, verse 17. First to the Jews and then to the Greeks. Greek is a particular word used for all Gentile nations. Glory to God. Because all other nations apart from Israel were Greek-speaking nations. Is that clear? So that's the reason why the apostles did not have a need of a supernatural utterance to enable them to speak the language of another man. Tongues by default is not a man's language. Glory to God. That's why Jesus calls it new tongues. Amen. They shall speak with what? New tongues. Acts of Apostles 2, verse 11 to 12. Acts 2, 11 to 12. Hallelujah. Acts 2, 11 to 12. So what happened on the day of Pentecost was not that they were speaking in other people's languages. We already established from scriptures that all the people gathered there were either Jews or proselytes. And they all had a common language. Praise God. So if you look at verse 11 of Acts 2, again, I would say, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all perplexed and amazed and perplexing to one another. Whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Now let's write. At this instance, that is verse 11, they had moved from unknown tongues to the language of men. They had moved from tongues, that is, you know, at Acts 2 verse 4, I was just, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they had moved from that to speaking in the language of those guys. And that was prophecy. We hear them speaking of the wonderful works of God. Amen. So they had moved from that to speaking in the language of others. Let's keep writing. This portion of the Bible must be read
with Acts 10, 44 to 46. This portion of the Bible must be read with Acts 10, 44 to 46. Acts 10, 44 to 46. Amen. Now let's see Acts 10, 44 to 46. You have to read it together. Acts 10, 44 to 46. Paul says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 46, let's all read together. For they heard them speak with tongues and do what? And magnify God. Was their tongues what, you know, Peter was referring to as them magnifying God, or they heard something in their understanding? Hallelujah. Don't forget 1 Corinthians 14. How Paul explains tongues. How that no man understands it. Glory to God. No man understands it. The man speaking himself does not even understand. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is, even the man does not understand what he's saying. So you can't say, they magnified God in tongues and then Peter heard it. No. They spoke in tongues and magnified God in their understanding. That is the only thing the speaker can relate with, or the hearer can relate with. Glory to God. Let's see 1 Corinthians 14 again. Very important. So we are still trying to address this issue of tongues being a supernatural enablement for you to speak another man's language. That's not what the Bible teaches. So you can't be, you can't say tongues is me speaking French by the ability of the Spirit. That is not what is in the Bible. Glory to God. Tongues is not anybody's language. It is another tongue. And the word another means different and strange. It is not found amongst men. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at Paul's line of reasoning or submission from verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to who? He who speaks in tongues does not speak to who? So, at the house of Cornelius, when they spoke in tongues, were they speaking to Peter? No. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to men. Who does he speak to? To God. For no one understands. How many people understand him? No one. Hallelujah. So could Peter have understood the tongues on the day when they went to Cornelius' house? No. Hallelujah. So how do we understand people's tongues? Verse 2. He does not speak in the tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3. But he who prophesies, speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue, edifies himself. But he who prophesies, edifies the church. Verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Unless indeed he interprets, that the church may do what? Receive edification. So how do we understand people's tongues? By the interpretation of words. So you can't be said to understand what people are saying in tongues unless there's a demonstration of another gift called words, interpretation of tongues. Glory to God. Okay, so let's go on. The second myth, which is what we're really focusing on today. We'll address the second, the third, and the fourth myth and close that on tongues. The second myth is, the gift of tongues suddenly comes upon people as they wait. It's a myth that the gift of tongues suddenly comes upon people as you're just waiting in the meeting. Praise God. As you're just looking around, something will just overtake you, and before you know it, you're scattering everywhere. And by the time they hold you and they tie you down and say, you see, I don't know what's over me. I don't know. That's a myth. It's not taught like that in the Bible. Let's write. This is also a misconception from Acts 2. This is also a misconception from Acts 2. This is also a misconception from Acts 2. And one key lesson in Bible study is never to build doctrine on experiences. And one key lesson in Bible study is never to build experiences, never to build doctrine on experiences. I'm still writing. Never build doctrine on experiences. The record of Acts 2 is an eyewitness account. The record of Acts 2 is an eyewitness account, which was a very spectacular thing. The record of Acts 2 was an eyewitness account, which was a very spectacular thing. I'm still writing. There are things that happened on that day that never happened anywhere else in the entire Bible. There are things that happened on that day that never happened anywhere else in the entire Bible. Amen. So that means if you want to use Acts 2 to teach how tongues is meant to operate, you are going to miss it. Glory to God. Because Acts 2 is an experience that never repeated itself again. So let's see a few of those things. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Those few things you can spot yourself that never happened again anywhere. Hallelujah. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Are we all there? Are we all there? Let's read together. Want to go? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? So what are the things you can readily spot that never happened anywhere again? Huh? I can't hear you. Tongues of fire, right? That sat upon them. Have you seen it before? It did not even repeat itself again in the entire Bible. Sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, I've heard people say that sound came from the believers. Doesn't even make sense. Praise God. And suddenly there came a sound from where? Look at your Bibles. Where did the sound come from? Where is heaven? Heaven is within you, I know. Very funny perspectives. Hallelujah. You know, somebody was telling me today that I didn't even know such explanation existed. That there's an explanation that on the last day, when Bible says we'll be caught up together with Jesus in the clouds, and then we'll be with him in heaven and all that. That is not talking about, it's not literal. That the catching up is us putting on an immortal body on the face of the earth here. So I said, let's go to the text. So I said, KJV, NASB, Amplified. All of them said in the clouds. Caught up with it. The same way Jesus ascended. You know, it's looking like Jesus' ascension is a fiction. Did Jesus ascend? Where did he ascend to? Into your heart. That's another doctrine from the same place. So he ascended into our hearts. So I said, where was he before the day of Pentecost? Hallelujah. It was suspended in the air. Going about. Doesn't make sense. There's a heaven. Say, tell your neighbor, there's heaven. See, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, at different times he prayed. Bible says, and he looked up to heaven. But you know, you'll be criticized. You'll be seen as somebody who doesn't know the word. If you do that today. Say, thank you, Father. Say, why are you looking up? He's here. He's here. Yes, he's here, he's there. Praise God. One should not cancel the other. Praise God. So where did the sound come from? From heaven. Be comfortable with that. Now, when the sound came, you know, the idea is that the sound came from within them. So it was their tongues that was the sound. No, the sound came from heaven. They saw, you know, cloven tongues as of fire sit upon them. That was a vision. And the Bible says they began to pray in other tongues. Now, imagine this. The people heard the sound. Are you aware? That in Jerusalem, those guys heard the sound that came. That was what drew their attention. It's in your Bible now. Praise God. So, what are the things that happened there that didn't happen again? Tongues of fire. rushing mighty wind. You know, so, and you won't find it anywhere again. So, you can't say they were just there, and as they were there, they didn't know what was coming, oh. Praise God. Suddenly, something just came upon them, and that's how people pray in tongues. That's how tongues must happen. So, we come for a meeting, and we're just waiting, waiting. Something must fall down on me. Glory to God. That's not how it is done. And I, like I said to you, it is not something you find anywhere else in the entire Bible. As a matter of fact, even these men, they had knowledge of what was to come. That's why they were able to respond appropriately. You know that at Luke 24, turn your Bibles there. At Luke 24, 49, Jesus has given them instruction. And what was that instruction? Luke 24, 49. What was that instruction? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from where? Do you think Jesus would have taught them concerning the gifts of the Spirit? He would have. I mean, Jesus told them, it was from Jesus they first heard it, that they would speak with new tongues. But you see, when he rose again, he taught them. Acts of Apostles 1, look at your Bibles now. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. From verse 1 to 3. Jesus spent his time teaching them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen guys, everything Jesus taught them was what he said they should go and teach. If Jesus did not teach the gifts of the Spirit, there's no way the apostles would have been able to teach it. So at Acts of Apostles 1, 1 to 3, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to what? Pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. So Jesus spent 40 days teaching them new creation realities. That which was going to be the fruit of his redemption. Hallelujah. And you know, this is an unwritten document. It's not documented for us. We don't find a book where the sermon of Jesus post-resurrection was documented. But the apostles are the ones who took that message to the world. So when you read in their letters, just like Paul came along the way, and he himself said, I received the revelation from Christ. So they took it to the world. And when you read their letters, everything they taught was what Jesus taught them. Praise God. How do I know this? Matthew 28. Turn your Bibles there. This is very important. Matthew 28. Glory to God. I want to plead with you tonight. One of the things I said to that guy as we were engaging on that subject back and forth, I said to him, I said, see, don't, you left the older generation, hero worship, everything their pastor says, they'll just be following. And you know, you come into a circle where you say it's the word circles, and you come with the same attitude. Hallelujah. Now everything your own pastor says is right. Even if you can see clearly in scriptures that, everyone now, praise God. I mean, one of the things he said to me was how we will never see Jesus. That the second, listen, know that the second coming of Christ is the indwelling spirit. Praise God. And he meant it. No, it wouldn't have been sad if it, maybe it was just a joke, but to now mean it. Indwelling spirit. I said, okay, when did the apostles now began to write, looking forward to the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When was the, okay, they had not received the indwelling spirit. They said, they said that those who were eyewitnesses did not understand what was happening. What an insult. Yet, their materials are a reference for doctrine. Peter did not understand ascension. Praise God. Peter, Paul, all of them did not understand ascension. We are the ones explaining what they said. Glory to God. It's so sad. So don't come with that same attitude. You should be able to stick with the word. And stick with what you can see clearly in your Bible. And when you don't see it there, and the person says, check it again. Check it again. And say, it's not there. Praise God. Don't say, now I'm not seeing it. It's not adding up. Because that's how people behave. Glory to God. Don't let anybody make you feel like you're not intelligent. Check it. I've checked it. It's not there. Check it again. You're not observing. I'm so observant. It's not there. Glory to God. Matthew 28. It's not quarrel. It's just that it's not there. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, let's all do it together. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. All things that I've what? Past tense. The things I've commanded you. So what Jesus handed to them was the doctrine of the New Testament. Whatever they taught was what Jesus taught them. Hallelujah. So, on this basis, we cannot say the disciples were not aware. They didn't know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost. Something just came upon them and they didn't know. No, they were aware. That's why I took you to Luke 24:49. A corroboration for that is Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has what? Come upon you, and you shall become witnesses to me. So they were waiting for that. Was that not it? They were. So what were they doing till the day of Pentecost? Acts of Apostles, chapter 1. They were waiting for the promise. And they knew that by the promise, there will be tongues, prophecy, and every other gift of the Holy Ghost. They knew. They were well informed before that day. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. What were they doing before the day of Pentecost? Acts of Apostles 1. Hallelujah. Thank you. Are we there now? Acts of Apostles 1. And I'll start from verse 14. Glory be to God. Just give me a minute. Okay, Acts of Apostles 1, I'll start from verse 14. What were they doing before the day of Pentecost? We're going to see this carefully. Acts 1 from verse 14. Let's all read together. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So what were they doing before the day of Pentecost? They continued in what? Prayer and what? And supplication. That was how they were waiting. Amen. They were waiting. So look at Acts 2, 1 to 4 again. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What does it mean to be in one accord? They had the same word, expectation. Write that down. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, meaning they had the same expectations. The same expectations. Not just the same expectations, the same attitude. The same attitude. You see how the Bible says they were all praying and supplicating. So on the day of Pentecost, they were with one accord. They had the same expectation. They knew the Holy Ghost was going to come. And they were waiting. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they were waiting for the promise of the Spirit. So when that sound came and the Holy Ghost came upon them, they knew how to respond to it. Glory to God. Look at this guy now. Hold on. I noticed there's a mistake in my manual. I noticed there's a mistake in my manual. The guy had mixed up the pages. Praise God. Alright. Hold on a minute. Let me try to sort this. Okay. Yeah. So let's continue. So The Holy Spirit came upon them. They knew how to respond. Acts 2, 1-4. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon them, they were able to respond appropriately because they had been taught. They had received information. Glory to God. And then we've seen at Acts of Apostles 1:1-3, how that Jesus taught them the things of the Spirit. So the idea that you don't need to be taught, you don't need to be informed about the things of the Spirit, you can just be in a meeting and suddenly something will descend upon you and you begin to pray in tongues, is not scriptural. That's why if we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, let's go back there. 1 Corinthians 12, you see Paul's emphasis on knowledge. If you are just joining us in this series, you remember, those who have been here, you remember we've done so much talking about the importance and the role of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Hallelujah. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not want you to be what? Ignorant. Let's write. I would not want you ignorant. Ignorant. The word ignorant is the Greek word agnoheo. The word ignorant is the Greek word agnoheo. Agnoheo is spelled A-G-N-O-E-O. A-G-N-O-E-O. The Amplified Version translates the word as misinformed. Concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not have you misinformed. It's amazing that for many years, a lot of things that have been said about the gifts of Spirit are misinformations. Amplified says, I will not have you misinformed. Let's keep writing. This word means to not know. True lack of information. This word means to not know. True lack of information. This word means to not know true lack of information. Or to ignore knowledge. To ignore knowledge. Hallelujah. To ignore knowledge. Let's keep writing. So knowledge is very key when it comes to operating in the things of the Spirit. Knowledge is very key when it comes to operating in things of the Spirit. And this means that the early church, now if I'm too fast for you, just signify. We'll go back. This means that knowledge is very key in operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And then, this means the early church didn't just start speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. This means that the early church didn't just start speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. They had been rightly informed by Christ. Glory to God. They had been rightly informed by Christ. Amen. Let's keep writing. This is why the disciples knew what they were doing on that day. This is why the disciples knew what they were doing on that day. This is why the disciples knew what they were doing on that day. Glory to God. And this is evident in Peter's response to the audience. And this is evident in Peter's response to the audience. Glory to God. Evident in Peter's response to the audience. Hallelujah. Peter was able to explain to them what they were seeing and hearing from the scriptures. Peter was able to explain to them what they were seeing and hearing from the scriptures. He was able to let them know. Glory to God. He was able to let them know. That's at Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts 2:14. Let me read that to you. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Where did Peter get that information? Why was Peter able to connect what was being done on the day of Pentecost or what was happening on that day? Why was he able to connect it to Joel's prophecy? Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 27. Luke 24, 27. Why was he able to make that connection? Mind you, these were men who were not learned in scriptures, who were unlearned in the things of God before Jesus began to teach them. So at Luke 24, 27, what's in there? Are we all there? Luke 24, 27, let's read together. And beginning at where? And in all the prophets, he expounded to them the things concerning who? Himself. So, Jesus had shown them things concerning himself in the scriptures. Jesus must have shown them the promises of God made in the prophets. Because those are the things concerning Jesus in the prophets. God's promises. So, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was able to connect what was happening or the outpouring of the Spirit to the prophecy of Joel because he had been taught. Hallelujah. So it's a myth that something will fall on you and you suddenly start praying in tongues. Glory to God. You know, the other place we always like to reference is the house of Cornelius. But I want to make you realize that in the first place, there is no record that we have a documentation of all that they heard on that day. Praise God. You know, many times we just have a narration or a summary of what happened in there. For instance, when the jailer was to receive the gospel with his household, the Bible says they told him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your household shall be saved. Is that not what is recorded? No, but they now went into his house to preach. Because it's not that simple. Glory to God. Don't believe and be saved. And the man said, I believe. No. They have to teach him. Because what brings salvation to a man is understanding. Remember the parable of the sower that Jesus says, these are the ones sown by the wayside. When they hear and they do not understand, the birds of the air come and, you know, take the seed away. So there must be understanding. That's why what brings faith is an explanation of God's word. That's the way Jesus was able to bring faith to his disciples too. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. And Bible says in verse 44, then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. 44, 45. So, that's the same thing at the house of Cornelius. Don't assume that you heard the entire message. Glory to God. Because the things of the Spirit function well with knowledge. There must be information. Glory to God. So, in fact, the idea that something must fall on you suddenly or something that can just come on you suddenly is so strange. Because that one does not involve the man's yieldedness. There's no deliberate yieldedness on your path. It can just overtake you. And that's not New Testament. Hallelujah. In fact, tongues is such that the man can choose to speak, he can choose to keep quiet. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 to 28. 1 Corinthians 14, 27, 28. Where you find those kind of manifestations are in the white garment churches. You know, white garment churches. And they also have very strange names for God. Strange names. Names you may not never come across in the Bible. They also have different names of angels. Amen. Angel Uriel. Till tomorrow, there's no such thing in the Bible. Angel Uriel. Angel Raphael. Where is Angel Raphael? You will not find it in the Bible. How many angels are mentioned in the Bible? Not two. Michael, Gabriel, and what? There's another one in Revelation. Angel of the bottomless pit. Abaddon, what was his name? Abaddon. So, but apart from Gabriel and Michael, which other ones are mentioned? But these guys have names. Angel, this, angel, that. They also have names of God. So, it's not amazing to find those manifestations in their midst. Amen. Because there are other gods making things happen. There are other spirits. There are other, all manner of things. Glory to God. It's not me. It's the Bible that is saying it. 1 Corinthians 14, 27, 28. What's in there? If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him do what? keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to who? And to God. Hallelujah. So that means the man can keep quiet, right? In the church. And then when we say, it's time to stop talking in tongues. You know, on Sunday, as I was talking and people were quiet, some people kept talking in tongues. Oh my God. Oh my Jesus. So everybody be quiet, you know. But because they were knowledgeable, they kept quiet. In another setting, as they keep quiet, they say, no, don't frustrate the spirit. Don't quiet God's spirit. We will quiet you. Hallelujah. It's not God's spirit. It's you. We will quiet you. We will throw you out of the church. Glory to God. Because, you can decide to speak. You can decide to keep quiet. Hallelujah. And then when you say keep quiet, you say, let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord. It's you that wants to have your way. You know, that's the context in which Paul now said, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. He can choose to talk, he can choose to be quiet. Glory to God. And that's why you can pray in the spirit everywhere. So let's go to this third myth. I think that's okay, right? Third myth. You can't speak in tongues in church without interpreting. You cannot speak in tongues in church without interpreting. Or like people come and say, if you must pray in tongues, you must be able to also interpret to people. If you are not interpreting, then don't pray in church in tongues. So, if you want to pray in tongues, just pray in your room. But the moment you come to church, no. How can we all just, everybody begin to pray in tongues? And we are all praying in tongues. It's so disorderly. And people say all those kind of things. It's not scriptural too. And the text of the Bible they use is the one we just read. Where it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You know, but in the same text, it's already clear that he is not to keep quiet in the absolute sense. He is to not speak to the church. He is to speak to who? Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 27 to 28. 1 Corinthians 14, 27, 28. So it's to speak to who? Himself and to who? In the same church, right? So, the context of this, let's write. The context of this text is in ministering to others in the church. The context of this text is ministering to others in the church. Hallelujah. Ministering to others in the church. So there's no keeping quiet absolutely in the church. There's no keeping quiet absolutely in the church. There's no keeping quiet absolutely in the church. Because he's still to speak to God and to himself. He's still to speak to God and to himself. Glory to God. So the man is not to be shut up, or you know, or shushed up, or shushed down. Hallelujah. No. He is not to speak to us. So, I don't come to the front. This is what Paul is saying. I don't come to the front like this and say, I have a message for the church, and then I blast in tongues, and when I'm done, I say amen. And then, if I amen, I'm still generous. Because that's in my understanding. So, I just blast in tongues, and I drop the mic, and go and sit down. Then, you say, okay, who else has a word? Nobody has understood what you're saying. Glory to God. Nobody has understood what you're saying. Even if we are saying it, you are using sign language, they will still not get it. Amen. There has to be an interpretation. Now listen, interpretation is not word for word interpreting what was said. So someone says, Tekel, mene, or fasting. You know, that's in the Old Testament. What is the interpretation of that thing? You know, you can learn from that. Look at the book of Daniel. So you don't say, my interpretation. You said four things. You now give interpretation. You are writing one notebook. So what is this? You're a deceiver. Because what you're expecting is a four-line translation. It's not translation. It is giving meaning to what was said. So it could be two words, and the implication of those two words would contain a full manual like this. Glory to God. So let's see. Let's learn from that. Book of Daniel. Hallelujah. Book of Daniel. See that interpretation is not always a word for word, you know, thing at all. It's not like that. It is about giving a meaning to what he said. Giving meaning to what he said. Now, if you found that place, just let me know. Daniel what? Daniel 5, 45. 25, okay. Are we up there now? Daniel 5, 25. Glory to God. Okay. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel of fasting. Now, look at verse 26. What's the interpretation? This is the interpretation of each word. Mene. What is mene? God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. That's mene. Hallelujah. Someone comes and says, mene. Say, oh yeah, interpret that. God has numbered your kingdom and finished. Stop deceiving us. Mene, mene should be Jesus. Hallelujah. Another two-syllabic word. No, but one word, see the implication. What's the next interpretation? Tekel. What is tekel? You have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. Perez. That's the next one now. Are we? What's that? Your kingdom is what? Has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So Persians is Perez. Now, you know that even the original rendition does not have Perez. What we have there is Ofasi. So, well, I don't understand what this means. Glory to God. The point is, you can learn from that how interpretation is done or how interpretation can come. It is not word for word translation. So I could come and talk in tongues. In fact, listen, I could come and talk in tongues for 30 minutes. And after I'm done talking in tongues for 30 minutes, say, God is with you. And I go and sit down. And that's the interpretation. Hallelujah. I say, eh? Since morning. Yes. That's when he got the interpretation. God is with you. Hallelujah. It's spiritual. God is with you. And that person comes and just talks in tongues 5 minutes. Or 5 seconds and takes 2 hours to explain. So it's interpretation, not explanation. So the man can keep quiet, Abby, and he can choose to also what? As a matter of fact, the first time tongues was seen in the body of Christ, they were all praying in tongues. Right? On the day of Pentecost. All of them. And nobody felt something was wrong. So, and you know, if that is disorderly, God would not have made it happen that way. That was what God did. All of them began to speak in tongues. The house of Cornelius, the same. All of them spoke in tongues. So it is right for us to pray in tongues. Don't say, I don't want to grieve the Spirit. I don't want to grieve in the Spirit. I would rather pray in tongues in my room. No. You can pray in tongues in the church, but when you want to minister to the church, you must give interpretation. Glory to God. So that is what interpretation is for. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 to 6. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 to 6. Interpretation is majorly for the church. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 to 6. Bible says, from verse 4 to 6, I would say, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive what? Edification. Verse 6, let's read together. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? What shall I profit who? you. So the one necessitates interpretation is blessing others, ministering to others. Without that, you can always pray in the spirit without the need for interpretation. Fine. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:5 itself. You know, we've seen that before. 1 Corinthians 14:4 to 6. Now let's look at the verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you what? Prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may what? Receive edification. Why does he say the man that prophesies is greater than the man that prays in tongue? Because, not that the man is greater. It's about the activity. His activity is more beneficial to the body than the one praying in tongues. But if the man praying in tongues also interprets, then their activities are on the same level. Glory to God. Let's write. So let's write. It says the man who prophesies, is greater than he who speaks in tongues. It says the man who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. But this is not saying he is a greater believer than the other. It says the man who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, but this is not saying that he's a greater believer than the other. You know, listen now, you must always allow the context to explain things. Greater than should be understood in context. Amen. So after the meeting where a man prophesies, you don't say, that man is the greater guy in this church. No, you must be able to understand what is said. So the man greater than is not that he's greater than the man, you know, in the real sense or in the absolute sense. This is not saying that he's a greater believer. But this is about his activity being much more beneficial to the body. Hallelujah. This is about his activity being much more beneficial to the body. Since he edifies the whole church by prophesying. Hallelujah. While the one who prays in tongues edifies himself alone. And listen, you know, I've said before that you must understand that the reason why you are giving tongues for your own edification is so you can edify others. That is, you are not maximizing this gift of God. You are not maximizing tongues if you are not a blessing to the body of Christ. Have you noticed that the book of Joel's prophecy is focused on being a blessing to others? That's where it begins. I'll pour my spirit on all flesh and they'll do what? They'll prophesy. So, if I edify myself with the gift of tongues, it is to the end that I'm edified enough to edify others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the essence. So, let's keep writing. So this is why he says the one prophesying is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets. This is why he says the one prophesying is greater than he who prays in tongues or he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. This means once the tongue is interpreted, his activity, is equally beneficial to the church as the one who prophesies. Glory to God. His activity is equally beneficial to the church as the one who prophesies. Amen. Let's keep writing. So again, it is clear that Paul is talking about ministering to others. It is clear that Paul is talking about ministering to others. Paul is talking about ministering to others. Let's see 1 Corinthians 14, 16 to 17 again. Or I think that would be the first time in this particular teaching. 1 Corinthians 14, 16 to 17. The context is about ministering to others. It's not that you can't talk in tongues. And if you're talking in tongues without interpreting, that means you are not making sense. No. It is about ministering to others. If you are not ministering to others, you are doing well on your own. Hallelujah. I know last week I told you that it's a personal affair. It's your business with the Father. It does not concern anybody. Amen. If I'm talking in tongues, I do not expect you to benefit from it. So if you say, why are you praying in tongues? Why are you not interpreting? You are not minding your business because it's not your business. Tongues is for my what? Edification. So I want to edify myself. Then you say, why are you not interpreting? No. It is for my own edification. But if the Lord will have me bless you by the gift of prophecy or maybe interpretation or anything, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that is when you have a right to be saying, say it in my own understanding. That is, if I come to you and I hold your hand and I'm talking in tongues, not that I'm praying with you, praise God. So everybody, anytime anybody grabs your hand in the church and I praise with you, say, you have a word for me. No, if I say I have a word for you and I'm talking in tongues, that is when you have a right to say, interpretation. Praise God. But if I don't tell you I have a word and I just grab your hand and we're praying together and you don't have a right to say, what are you saying? I'll say, mind your business, Oga. Praise God. Like you should be praying too. So let's pray together. So it's a personal thing. So nobody needs to understand what is being said. I myself do not need to understand what I'm saying. Glory to God. You know, and that's the most amazing part. You don't need to understand what you are saying. And you'll be yet edified. Glory to God. So 1 Corinthians 14, 16 to 17. Otherwise, if you're blessed with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. You indeed do what? Say with me, I give thanks well when I talk in tongues. So, but the focus is about others. It says, the other man is not edified. So if I'm praying for somebody, or I'm praying with somebody, and I'm giving thanks in the spirit, the man does not understand. He cannot participate in the prayer. So why is there a need for us to give thanks together? Hallelujah. Why is there a need? He says he doesn't know when to say amen. Glory to God. You know, that's the kind of prayer that, you know, I'm praying for the person. He doesn't know when to say amen. He doesn't know when to say I receive. He doesn't know, so because you're just blasting tongues. Glory to God. How many of you pray for the sick in tongues? You know, it has gotten to a point where what guys, they are so used to tongues, that even when you are to pray for a sick person, it's still tongues. Just grab a person, pray in tongues. Jesus, you are healed. No, see, that's not how they prayed for the sick in the Bible. In fact, if you are to pray in tongues, it should be for yourself. Then you minister to the person based on speaking words in your understanding. There are believers today who, under the guise of praying in tongues, cannot articulate prayer in their own understanding. A person will just, you'll just get to a point and it will be like there are no words again. Amen. Father, we thank you. We magnify your name. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I am that I am, the omnipotent, omniscience, the Almighty God. That's all he knows. Praise God. Can you pray for us now in the next 30 minutes in your understanding? And not run out of words. And not repeat words. Praise God. You should be able to do that. What if you are called to an assembly where they tell you to come and lead prayer and they don't even talk in tongues there and you are not given any slot to teach? You now turn the prayer session to every believer can pray in tongues. Every believer must be able to pray in tongues. Is that what they called you to come and do? So you should be able to pray. So when it comes to praying for people, you have to pray in your understanding. Hallelujah. So that the person receiving might be able to receive well. Participate. That's what Paul is saying. But if I'm praying alone, then I don't need to. Praise God. If I'm praying with people and we are just praying to God, I don't need to pray in my understanding. But I mean, I'm praying for you. I have to pray in my understanding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's why there will now be, if you want to pray in tongues, there will now be switching from tongues to understanding. So you pray in tongues, you get words in an understanding, and you utter it. That's the only way you are going to edify that person. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Okay. Now look at verse 26 also. 1 Corinthians 14:26. See that the focus is on the other person. So when he says, if you cannot interpret, keep quiet, he's not referring to keeping quiet absolutely. It's in the context of, if you cannot interpret your tongues to people, then don't speak to them in tongues. Since the man that speaks in tongues does not speak to men, right? Doesn't. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Are we there? Let's all read. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, as a what? Song, as a revelation, as an interpretation. Let all things be done for what? For edification. Let's write. So Paul is here giving order for the demonstration of the things of the Spirit. So Paul is here giving order for the demonstration of the things of the Spirit. Paul is here giving order for the demonstration of the things of the Spirit. Paul is here giving order for the demonstration of the things of the Spirit. And the next verse is an instruction for how tongues is to be used in this meeting. And the next verse is an instruction on how tongues is to be used in this meeting. What is the next verse again? Verse 27 and 28 that we read. Where it says, if a man cannot interpret, let him keep quiet. This is the preceding verse. So Paul is giving order for how things should be demonstrated in the meeting. Amen. Paul is giving instruction for how tongues is to be used in this meeting. It must be interpreted to edify others, or you are to be silent. That is, refrain from speaking to others. It must be interpreted to edify others, or you are to be silent. That is, refrain from speaking to others. So you see, those are the myths surrounding tongues today. Now, you know, Paul at 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So Paul already gives an instruction as a closing, a final instruction. 1 Corinthians 14:39. It says, therefore, brethren, earnestly do what? And do not forbid to do what? What Paul said we should not do is what people are doing. He says, you shouldn't pray in tongues if you cannot interpret. But that's not what Paul is saying. Don't stop people from praying in tongues. Though there should be an earnest desire to what? To prophesy. But don't stop talking in tongues, because tongues is for your personal what? Edification. The final one. The last one. Myth 4. The Holy Spirit is the one speaking through you. The Holy Spirit is the one speaking through you. No, it sounds like the last one. The Holy Spirit is the one speaking to you. So the man says, I'm just going to yield myself now. Before the prayer meeting, I was the one talking. Hallelujah. But as I got in the prayer meeting, I just told God, take control. So from that point, the Holy Spirit began to pray. I've heard people say that tongues is the Spirit of God praying on your behalf. There's no such thing in the Bible. Who does the speaking? Who does the speaking? Acts 2:4. Who does the speaking? Let's see. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Is it the Holy Spirit that is speaking? Or the man? Acts chapter 2 and verse 4.
Glory to God. Acts 2:4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Who were those who began to speak? What happened to them that caused them to speak? They were filled with what? The Spirit. And they began to speak with what? Other tongues. As the Spirit gave them what? So what was the role of the Spirit? He gave them what? Utterance. That is, they were not the ones producing what was being said. But they chose to speak, right? So that means if I don't open my mouth, there will be no speaking. Glory to God. Does the Spirit forcefully open your mouth? Amen. That I want to pray. The Spirit says, I want to pray. And then just opens your mouth. And your mouth is just going about. Amen. No. You do the speaking. The role of the Spirit is to give you utterances. Hallelujah. Utterances. So the believer has the ability to speak whenever he wants to speak. Amen. That's it. He has the ability to do what? To speak. So you don't find a place in the Bible where we are told that it's the Holy Spirit that is praying. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. It is not the Holy Spirit that is praying. It is the man himself, the believer, that is praying. Hallelujah. So, the Holy Spirit has given him the ability to speak in other tongues. You know how ridiculous it will sound to say it is the Holy Spirit that is going about to lay hands on people. What is the role of the Spirit of God? He leads us. So the Spirit of God can lead you to go and minister to a sick person. But it's not the Spirit of God that will just drag you, you know. And you say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. And you just take your hand to somebody's head. You say, this is where we're coming. Then you now pray for the person. No, you choose to go and lay hands. Isn't that it? So if you can't apply it to sickness, praying for the sick, you shouldn't apply the same to tongues. What is praying? 1 Corinthians 14:14. Are we there? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit does what? My spirit, is your spirit the Holy Spirit? I hope we are all together. Some people understand what I mean. Because there's a teaching that says, we are the Holy Spirit. I don't even, see. It will take years to correct some of the things that have been said now. So, my spirit, is your spirit the Holy Spirit? Is your spirit a Holy Spirit? Is your spirit holy? Is he a Holy Spirit? Is your spirit a Holy Spirit? A Holy Spirit. But is your spirit the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. My spirit is holy. So I'm a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But it sounds funny. I'm the Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit. That's why when people receive Christ, it's not you that enters them. Amen. You know, you receive the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we can't be the Holy Spirit. So what is praying now, according to Paul? My spirit. So the man is the one, my spirit is just for, he's just saying, I'm the one praying. Hallelujah. As you know, and it's distinct from his intellect. So when I pray in tongues, it is not my reasoning, my intellect, my understanding. It is the spirit man. Glory to God. So that's what Bible says, praise. So that's not the Holy Spirit praying through you. Glory to God. No, that's you praying by the ability of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we are done. And then you could just add this to last week's teaching on tongues. So we're going to be done on the gift of tongues. So people who have a problem or a struggle with praying in the Spirit have all these myths as barriers. These are all the myths. Do you know how much hindrance it has caused people when they've come to believe that something must fall on them suddenly? I mean, you will never get to exercise that gift. Or that It is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you. And if you say anything without the Holy Spirit trying to say anything, you're already blaspheming. It's wrong. Or that you can't pray in the midst of people, you must interpret. If you cannot interpret, make sure you're not talking in tongues. Those things have robbed people from exercising themselves in these gifts over the years. Hallelujah. Now, a very basic thing every believer must understand is that what gives credibility to all that we do, all the expressions of the Spirit, is the fact that we have the indwelling Spirit. So you don't say, any believer, any unbeliever too can just come here and start talking nonsense, you know? And that's talking nonsense. And you say, is that not tongues too? See, it's like saying any unbeliever too can lay hands on the sick. Is it laying hands? But would there be anything communicated? No, because he is void of the Spirit of God. So when a believer says, I don't want to say nonsense, this thing that is coming from my mouth is nonsense. And you know, sometimes you find people come for a church meeting and they begin to pray in tongues, and by the following week or maybe 2 weeks, you find them and they tell you, I stopped though. And then you ask the person why. You say, I didn't believe his tongues. It's just nonsense I'm saying. Praise God. Amen. I wasn't feeling it. It's just nonsense. It doesn't make sense. It's because the person does not understand that the nature of tongues, number one, like we said, is gibberish. Tongues is not human language. Tongues is not something anybody can understand. Tongues is not smooth. Amen. It doesn't have to sound like a language that is learned in this world. And everything is so well arranged and lucid, sounding very intelligent. How many of you get impressed when somebody's tongue is so sweet? They say, hey, tongue's near. Praise God. And that person comes, ucho, 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 ucho. What's this one? It's not sweet. Uti macho in tongues. Hallelujah. Some people speak in tongues like they are digging well. Or they are constructing road. Bazooka tongues. See, you can be doing all that, and all you are saying in the spirit is, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's all you are saying in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And you're adding muscle to it. No. So don't get carnal. Hallelujah. Get carnal. And be judging tongues like that. No. People even classify tongues. And we've seen that Bible says there are diversities of tongues. That is, we won't say the same things. Amen. And it doesn't have to be very fine. Let me also say this. Because sometimes people's normal way of speaking also affects how they talk in tongues. A man who has good elocution, whose tongues are loosed, praise God, would pray in tongues, and you know, you almost be like, this guy, these tongues. But somebody else who is just so rough and all that, there's a way we talk in tongues, scatter the mouth, and you know, the way the thing will come out. So it may not appeal to you. Praise God. So don't be carnal and be judging things like that. Some people will be repeating the same things for many months. Don't say, it's one thing he's been saying. Praise God. That's not how to judge those things. Glory to God. It is spiritual. Hallelujah. It is spiritual. That when I pray in tongues, I'm edifying myself. What we should be concerned about is the man edified? Do you know that? Is the man edified? If he is edified, then he's doing well praying in the spirit. Another person can be, you know, some of you, they call prayer machine. The man is not even edified. Because he's busy trying to make people know he's a prayer machine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Trying to make people know. And you know, God is not giving a word. Wow, this tongue is too great. Amen. Anytime this guy is in church, I used to have a nice time. And God now specially awards him. This guy is the one that understands tongues. No. Doesn't make a difference. Amen. Doesn't make a difference. We are the ones that get impressed by those things. Amen. And then some believers have gotten to a point where they despise their own tongues. Some believers even emulate other people's tongues. Amen. You see the way a man prays in tongues, he's always looking up. Next thing, in the next meeting, you too. You see, you are carnal. Hallelujah. That's carnality. You don't need to try to sound like somebody else. You know, just rely on the ability of the Spirit. Glory to God. See, in the final analysis, it is God whom you are speaking to that knows what is sweet. Amen. It can't be you and I. Because the Bible says we do not even understand what we are saying. So we must get rid of all those misconceptions and just enjoy this gift of tongues. Now, the last thing I'm going to say is how that tongues is very distinct. I mean, do good to note this. Tongues is very distinct. Of all the spiritual gifts, tongues is very distinct. Amen. Tongues is very distinct. Which is the reason why the operation of it is quite different. The operation of it is quite different. I'm talking about tongues for defining yourself now. It's quite different. Glory to God. Write this down. All of the gifts function according to their needs. All of the gifts function according to their needs. All of the gifts function according to their needs. Also write, all of the gifts function according to their nature. All of the gifts function according to their nature. Praise God. And I'm going to give you an example, and you should keep writing. For instance, the gift of healing is needed only when there is a sick person. The gift of healing is needed only when there is a sick person. The gift of healing is needed only when there is a sick person. That's an example right there. The gift of prophecy is needed only when there's a need to edify somebody. The gift of prophecy is needed only when there's a need to edify somebody. Hallelujah. The gift of word of wisdom is needed only when there's a need for giving men direction. Gift of word of wisdom is needed only when there is a need to give men direction. Hallelujah. So, when is the gift of tongues needed? Your own word, edification. And how often do you need to be edified? You know, he says, he that prays in a tongue does not speak to men. Who is he speaking to? Does the Bible instruct us to always pray to God? So you see, that gift operates according to its nature. Hallelujah. So that means the Holy Ghost would, in fact, it's this way. The Holy Ghost gives utterances on a regular basis for communicating with the Father. Because that's the nature of that gift. There's already a constant, regular need to pray. So that's why you will never run out of utterance. Hallelujah. You will never run out of utterance because there's a consistent need to pray. Amen. There's a consistent need to pray. What I'm saying in essence is, if while praying, I am instructed to give prophecy to somebody, I'm led to give a word of prophecy. After I'm done with prophecy or prophesying to that person, I can be done prophesying. Are you aware of that? I can be done prophesying. But I can continue praying. Because the need to pray is constant. So that gift operates according to the nature of that gift. Look at all the instructions given in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Being watchful in the same with thanksgiving. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be steadfast, rejoice in hope, continuing instant in prayer. Hallelujah. Diverse instructions on prayer. So because there's a constant need, look at Jude 20. Beloved, praying, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. There's a constant need for prayer. That is why that gift operates that way. Number two. Why is tongues so distinct? Number two. It's in ministering to God, you receive for men. It's in ministering to God, you receive for men. So a man can say, why is it that we can just talk in tongues whenever we want to, but we can't just prophesy to people whenever we choose to? No. It's in speaking to God, you receive for men. That's why they don't operate the same way. Are you getting it? It's in ministering to God. So, as I'm relating with the Father, I am led to minister to men. So, they don't operate the same way. Hallelujah. It's in ministering to God, we minister to who? So, every other gift is to man. That's clear. Every other gift is to men. Tongues are to God. Every other gift are to men. Tongues is to God. Hallelujah. Tongues is to God. So, it's like coming from here to here. You get, you minister to God, you minister to men. So, you minister to men to the degree that you minister to God. Acts 13:1, as you know, there were certain prophets and teachers in the early church, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So as I minister to the Lord, I receive ministry for men. Hallelujah. So that's why you can't say, you can also just choose to, by your own will, begin to give word of knowledge or prophecy. No, they are two different things. The nature of the gift determines their operation. Lift your hands and give Him praise tonight. Thank Him. Continue from here next week. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him and give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Oh, come on, lift your hands in this place. Few more minutes. Few more minutes and we're done. Sing with all your heart. Sing with all your soul. You know, get in the flow. It's a culture. You sing as you ought to. You're not waiting to be jump started. Minister to the Lord. Lift your hands. Give Him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and give Him praise. Go ahead and give Him praise. Go ahead and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Ketulan grogomono shukebele gere turu gibashata. Kabalabalabalabalabalabali yedilabrogomono shudevenegedededededededededede. Helebekele turu gibashata latanata. And I'm not yet to complain about my many problems, by your Spirit and your grace, I'm confident you solve them. I'm here to say, I love you. I'm here to say, I'm here to say, I adore you, I adore you. And I'm here to say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love to love you more. I'm here to say, I'm here to say,
I love you, I love you. And I'm here to say, I adore you, Jesus. Oh, I'm here to say, I'm here to say, I love you, I love you. Hey, I love to love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Said, hey. I'm here to say,
I'm here to say.
You're not singing, brother.
I love you.
This is not how to sing. You put yourself in it. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, I adore you, Lord.
I adore
you. I'm here to say, I'm here to say, I'm
here to say,
I adore you, Lord. Oh, 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 I love you.
I love to love you.
Yeah, I love to love you more.
I love to love you more.
I'm here to say,
I'm here to say,
I love you, Jesus.
I love
you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
I'm here to say,
I adore you.
I'm here to say,
I adore you, Lord.
Hey,
and I love you, Lord.
I adore you.
Is all we've come to do, casting ground, casting
ground,
bowing
down.
Is all we've come to do,
Lord. And we, the church, we worship You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Heaven and earth adore. Heaven and earth adore.
We the saints we worship.
We the church we
you worship. You are
beautiful. You're beautiful.
You are beautiful. You are beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Oh, heaven and earth adore.
Heaven and earth adore.
We the saints we worship.
We the saints we worship.
You are beautiful.
You're beautiful. Oh, you're beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Holy Ghost, Kala Baladela, Kala de la Baladela, Vela de la Galade, Vela Galade, and Ella de la Sala Vela, Sala Kelly Baladela, Galade, and the Valley, Sala de la Valeda, and Prada Suda Valley, Prada Banda, Pulem, Dona, Sala de la Galata. Only you can do this thing. There is no one else like you. Oh, bow, oh, bow,
oh, bow,
only you can do this thing.
There is no one else.
Everybody
like
say,
you.
Oh, bow, oh, bow,
oh, bow. There is no one else.
Oh, bow, oh, bow, oh, bow,
oh, bow, oh, bow.
Happy is he.
Happy is he.
Only you.
Only you can do this. There is no one else like you.
There's he, oh. There's he, oh. The sun is going to be red. Cause that is all I be
right.
Cause
that is all I be right.
So my shiny, oh,
that is all I be right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the beauty of worship. Thank you for the privilege to praise. 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 Thank you, Father, for the privilege to praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's give our offerings quickly tonight. Thank God for the privilege of praise. Come and send it to the mirror. Lie alone, Kosio.
Kosio. Come send it to the mirror. Come and send it to the mirror.
Lie alone, lie alone.
Kosio.
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 Come and send it to
the mirror.
Come and send it to the mirror.
Send it to the mirror.
Lie alone, come and see yo. Come and see, go send it to the mirror.
Come and send it to the mirror.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, meeting is closed. See you on Saturday. Have a good time. Going out together. And then on Sunday we'll come together for normal church service. Amen. Glory to God.